episode 641 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is the Top Cow episode for December 20th, 2018. And today I'm going to be talking about Ares number 9, The Darkness. It's a one-shot that came out just this last Wednesday. It has a lot of the Talent Hunt winners from 2017. There's a couple of stories. We've got the main story written by Brendan Hodgson. The art is by Balazs Villegos. Colors by Space Wolf. And then we have a second story called A Grave Meeting, written by Charles Crapo. Art by Mark Whitaker. Letters by Troy Pateri. So both these stories have to do with Ares in the future. And for those that aren't familiar with them, it's the whole ninth generation corner or part of the Top Cow universe. It's kind of their look at the future. And these ninth generations are kind of clones in a way, iterations of kind of descendants of Cyberforce in a way, if you want to think of them like that. I mean, it's much more complex than that, but way too complex to get into in this episode. But I do enjoy the ninth generation stories. It started with Aphrodite 9, and I really, really enjoyed that by Matt Hawkins. And then he kind of expanded from there. And the other thing about the ninth generation that I really like is how they're all named after gods, you know, Athena, Aphrodite, Hades. It really makes it pretty interesting. And then obviously The Darkness is coming back in 2019. So I guess it was a natural almost progression to bring The Darkness into the future. We've seen with these newer future stories of the ninth generation that Top Cow has integrated in a lot of ways some of the ideas of the present Top Cow universe, which is really cool. It makes it feel much more like a cohesive universe, something along the lines of the DCU or the Marvel U. More DC than Marvel, really, because they always had the Legion of Superheroes future stories that were being told, and it tied in and used to get a lot of legacy stuff like that. So it's cool to see another publisher doing it. I guess Valiant does it a little bit as well with Rye, where the Blood of the Heroes was actually the nanites and blood of the original Bloodshot from way back in the day. So cool little hints like that, and allows you to play around with stories and timelines. So the main story is narrated by Hades, and he's talking about how it, whatever it is, began on the day of Ascension. And he talks about having to face a creature in Hephaestus's sanctuary, and they killed the creature, but Hades felt a coldness creeping along his spine. It was one that he hadn't felt in years. And some of the other soldiers, we see Aphrodite there. I'm not sure who the other character is. They're talking like, what was that? Like, oh, it's just some dumb mutant animal, nothing to worry about. But Hades knows that there is something to worry about, because this time the cold stayed. And he remembered when he'd felt it before, way back in his childhood, where he was kind of being haunted by something, some kind of spirit that was telling him that he did very well indeed. And imagine what else he could do if he claimed this power for himself. And kind of the vision that he's seeing of the person who's saying that to him is Jackie Estacado, who we know as the original bearer of the darkness. So later, a lot of the ninth generation are heading out to attack a church. Just trying to investigate and understand what's going on. And Hades talks about the fact that the visions have beckoned him every day for months to this particular church. And they go to Sierra Munoz to find out why. If he wants to maintain his supremacy among the Nines, he's got to get rid of what he considers to be a curse. He feels weakened by these distractions because they've been there for so long, and he doesn't understand why, and he doesn't want to let anyone else know that maybe there's something wrong with him. So his only option is to really confront the visions kind of head on and go to the place that he dreams of every night. the way he puts it, he's chasing ghosts to the end of the earth. So once they arrive at the church, everybody's ready to go in, but Hades says, no, I'm going to go in there by myself. And when they question him about bringing backup, he says, it wouldn't be sporting. And besides, do you think Athena would face a mystery like this with help or Poseidon? Do you doubt I'm stronger than them? And they say, no, of course not. And he says, then I go alone. Wait for me here. So once he goes inside, the first thing he notices is the smell, that stench of sulfur in the air. So we're very familiar with that. That's certainly a telltale sign of the darkness, the demons that it calls forth. Always have that that stench of sulfur. Some might call it the smell of hellfire itself. So he walks inside and he sees a pretty alien-looking landscape. And his first response is pretty appropriate when you think about it. He says, what the hell? Like, what is all this, right? And as he's kind of questioning, why am I here? He hears that voice talking to him again saying, because Ares, you have to see. And he thinks about the fact that that voice sounds familiar. It's the voice that's narrated his dreams. It's the voice that of the spirit or ghost or whatever you want to call it that's been haunting him for all these years, and it's calling him down into the shadows of the church, downstairs to the basement. And he thinks, you know, this thing's got me right where it wants me to be, and I can already hear Athena's derisive laughter, the mocking tone she would use for me having gone on this wild goose chase. But I'm not deterred. He knows there's something behind all this, right? And he thinks it's all in his head, right? He's talking about not knowing what this thing that's haunting his mind is and doesn't know why it's led into this place. But whatever the reason, he's ready for the answer. So once he gets down to the basement, it looks rather similar to the upstairs of the church. There's all these pillars, glowing greenish-looking eggs. And he sees the spirit again for the first time in a long time, saying, yeah, Ares, you aren't ready for anything. And Ares, for whatever reason, I don't know why he thinks he's going to be able to blast this person with his gun, but he is asking for answers, like, why have you brought me here? And the spirit replies, to show you the truth. And Ares has had enough. He says, you know what? I think you're mistaken. All I see here is death. And he fires at the spirit. And again, I'm not really sure what he thinks is going to happen, because this thing is certainly not like tangible. He's not going to be able to fire an energy weapon at it and have it do any damage whatsoever. And sure enough, the projectile goes, you know, right through it. And he's like, you know, your weapons really aren't going to help you with me, because I'm not really here. I'm just the sliver in your mind, a fragment left behind years ago by my true self. So you wonder about that, right? So is, and again, I haven't read all the Ninth Generation stuff. And some of the stuff I have read was a long time ago and I don't remember. And I'm not sure. Ares may in fact be the clone, like a sort of a descendant of Jackie Estacado. That would make sense with this spirit here saying, I'm a sliver in your mind, right? Just a little piece left way back there. And I love that term, right? Always reminds me of the Matrix. Something you know is there. It's always been back there in the back of your mind, the tip of your tongue, something you can't quite grasp, you know, like a sliver in your mind. And so Ares is thinking, he's like, wait, in the lab? And the spirit's like, yes, I've been right here with you ever since. Know everything about you, fears, aspirations, and know what you're meant to be. But first, you've got to see what you are, right? And that would make sense that if Ares is the descendant of Jackie Estacado, even if it's a genetic descendant from, you know, cloned from tissue or DNA or whatever, he still has to have the potential to wield the darkness, right? And so as he explores deeper into the chamber, he eventually comes across a giant spider creature. And I'm not sure what the spider creature is, but the spirit does say, tells Ares, you've been played for a fool, Ares, just as she was. And I'm assuming this she is this giant spider. And The spirit tells him that he hopes he's not wrong about Ares. He'd rather not see him fail. And there's a pretty brutal fight between Ares and this spider-like creature. Ares is like, man, I've never been hit by that before. None of my siblings come close to this strength. And the spirit says, yeah, you're right. None of you have power like this, but you could change that, or perhaps not. I mean, as formidable as the ninth generation is, just think about how much more formidable they would be if one of them were to bear the power of one of the artifacts. That would really take them up to the next level. So, as I said, the fight goes back and forth, mostly due to the fact that this being, this half spider, half woman, is so ridiculously powerful. And despite being overmatched, Ares just keeps telling himself, I'm not going to let this beast defeat me. I'm not going to let the gremlin in my mind undermine me. I was bred for war and combat, and I'm the best of the nines, the strongest. I cannot be defeated. And he gets impaled by one of the sharp spiderly legs of this half spider, half woman. And so just when it seems like Ares is on the verge of losing, the spirit actually encourages him, saying, you know what? All the power relegated to being a sex object and a science experiment, only to ancient idiots lucky to survive, could have been so much more, and so can you if you earn it. And so what Ares finally does is he uses his head rather than his muscles, and he actually gets the spider to collapse the roof on top of itself. And as it lies there, defeated, smashed from the cave-in, Ares speaks to his spirit. I guess he's starting to accept the fact that it's there. And he says, you said I could be more. How? And the spirit says, well, you know, the power that birthed her, that birthed me, it'll come to you in time. And when it does, you'll be faced with a choice. You can continue to submit to the role of the chairwoman and fulfill the role that she intended for you, or you can use the power that you're able to achieve for yourself. You can become a god, the god you deserve to be, and restore the natural order of the world. Choice is yours. So again, it's that idea of this part of him, the part of him that's able to control the darkness, the part of him that's able to bond with the darkness artifact, the part of him that still has memories of wielding the power of the darkness. So it's knowledge, it's like genetic memory of being able to wield the darkness, but it's also being him being reminded, him having this spirit, which has really got, in my mind, all in his head, reminding him of who he is, reminding him that he can be more. And it's really, when you think about it, really kind of narcissistic and also like a power grab. You know, he's like physically the most gifted as far as being a warrior of the ninth generation, but he's not in charge. And on some level, he's got to resent always having to follow orders to some extent. So restore the natural order. I mean, survival of the fittest, right? So the choice ultimately will be his. And when is he going to have a chance to be confronted with the darkness? When is it going to be his turn to make that choice? So he leaves the church, tells his troops, that's it, we're done here. And meanwhile, he's thinking that he wants to believe he's gone insane, and that this girl, whoever she was, is a figment of his imagination. But he knows that she's not, and he also knows that she has her own agenda. And for all her talking of wanting to free Ares from the chairwoman's schemes, it's just trading one master for another, right? The power that created her, it's got to have schemes of its own, and it could just be using him as well. But he thinks to himself, well, that's actually fine, because we have more than enough in common. And again, I think it might be something in himself that's manifesting this evil, this spirit, whatever you want to call it, to hopefully lead him down the path of gaining more power in the future. So that's the first story. It's pretty solid. I think I'll be able to get more out of it once the new Darkness title comes out. It should shed a little more light. The art by Balazs Villegas was pretty solid, and the colors by Space Wolf were solid as well. The art by Villegas wasn't quite as polished or refined as I typically like my comic art to be, but he does some things really well. He moves the camera around a lot in the panels, which, again, really great job. Keeps us from getting bored, switches up the angle. Sometimes we're looking down on our characters from below, sometimes up from looking up at them from kind of a worm, what is it called, worm's eye view. We also have good storytelling, good transitions, and the page layouts is probably where he has the most room to improve, because they're pretty generic for the most part. But all in all, I thought the art suited the story very well. It's not quite as polished as maybe some of the other top cow art we've seen over the years, but I certainly think there's a lot of potential here. The colors are somewhat muted, kind of suits this sort of creepy story. You know, it is a story of the darkness at the end of the day. So having more of a muted color palette really suits that kind of mood and tone that they're going for here. All right, I mentioned there's a second story. It's called A Grave Meeting. And we see that there's another one of the ninth generation, this time Hades, who also is seeing this girl, whoever it might be, is having visions of her. And in the second story, this girl convinces Hades to come out to a graveyard to dig up Jenny Estacado. And she also lets Hades have a couple of the little darkness demons to help her. And one of them is Muscles, and he's just there for his muscle to basically do the digging. The other one seems to have designs on having a little romantic time with Hades, which she's not about to let happen. And the first time when the demon touches her butt, she gives him a face full of shovel, which is an awesome scene, saying, "Keep your damn hands to yourself," whap, and just knocks him. So once they find Jackie Estacado, because the boss, that's what they refer to the spirit as, has instructed them to do so, they dig up the coffin of Jenny Estacado, but when they open it, it's just one more demon inside that immediately kills Muscles, and we get the other little darkness demon complaining the whole time about how this nameless third demon killed Muscles. So Hades has sort of a knockdown, drag-out fight with this thing, with the other little demon trying to help as best he can. Ultimately, it's pretty much up to Hades on her own, though, to take care of the guy, and she does. But that means that ultimately the coffin that had Jenny Estacado, it was empty. She's not in it. So despite the fact she's supposed to be there, could she perhaps have been resurrected? Could she be hiding somewhere else? And why did this boss person, this spirit lady, want Hades to go and basically fight her way? Because she had to know what was going to happen. She had to know that Jenny's body wasn't in there, and it was instead another demon. So somewhat of a mystery, and much like the first story, I'm hoping that we get more answers in the new Darkness title that's coming up from Matt Hawkins pretty soon. So all in all, I thought this was well done. There's also a really, really great pinup in the back by Balazs Villegas with colors by Tomi Varga. This is a really enjoyable story. Pretty impressed with the quality, especially of the plotting and the pacing from both of these stories. Thought they were done really, really well. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Comic Source Spotlight on Ares Darkness One Shot. I do want to remind everybody about our 12 Days of the Comic Source contest. You need to retweet the tweet that announces this episode or any subsequent tweets about this episode, that especially if they have the hashtag the 12 days of the comic source. And the other thing you need to do is you need to DM me the secret code word, which for this episode is going to be darkness. And do those two things and you'll be entered to win a trade paperback of the art of the Witchblade from Top Cow. So it's a really cool prize. I have a copy myself. My copy is signed by Mark Silvestri. Sorry, yours will not be. And I, you know what, if it wasn't for the fact that Mark personalized it to me, I probably would be willing to give away the copy that's signed by Mark, but because I could get him to sign another one for me. And I know not everybody that listens to the show gets to go to cons, and Mark doesn't really travel to too many cons. He does just ones sort of in the LA area, or he'll go to, he'll go to Vegas once in a while, does San Diego, but he's not real huge on travel. So anyway, maybe in the future I can give away something signed by Mark. But for this particular giveaway, it is Art of the Witchblade, but not signed. So if you want and you do win it, though, I could hold on to it. And the next time I see Mark, I could get it signed for you. And so if you do win, just let me know. I'll give that to you as an option. Probably could do that with a lot of the titles now that I think about it. Just because I do so many shows. So maybe I'll offer that later on. I'll have to think about that. Or maybe I'll just, when I go to reach out to everybody who wins individually, I may ask about things that aren't signed if they want me to get them signed before I send them. So we'll give that as an option. Let's see, what else did I... Oh, I also wanted to mention that normally we do the Marvel Chronology on Saturday. Unfortunately, due to the holidays, I'm traveling, Nick's traveling. It was really hard to get together this week to do the Marvel Chronology and the Thanos reading order. So we're actually going to skip the Thanos reading order one because I don't want to cover the next part of the classic Thanos without Nick. And he doesn't want me to, he wants to read it and be able to talk about it as well. So we're still going to do an episode. Since I was planning on giving out an autographed trade paperback of Letter 44, Volume 1 from Charles Soule, I thought what I would do is I've done a couple of interviews with Charles where we've talked about Letter 44, and I've also done an interview with the artist, Rafael Alberto Albuquerque, at the most recent New York Comic Con about Letter 44. So I'm going to take those the excerpts from the interviews I did with Charles, because they were they covered more than just Letter 44, but I'm going to take the interviews that I've done with Charles that have to do with Letter 44. I'll cut out just the Letter 44 parts, and I'll put those together along with Alberto Albuquerque's Letter 44 interview from New York Comic Con. I'll put all those together, so you'll basically get a lot of Letter 44 content on Saturday's episode. And then it makes a lot of sense that that'll be the episode for Friday, because the giveaway is the trade paperback of Volume 1. So again, apologies that Nick and I couldn't make it work this week for the Thanos Chronology. The Thanos Chronologies have been getting a lot of downloads, so I know he's a really popular character right now, and everybody wants more Thanos, and we do too. So don't worry, it's coming back. It's just a week off due to some of the logistics of the holiday. So don't forget, you can go to the show notes to find links to the 12 days of the comic source rules and all the prizes and the giveaways. Keep retweeting and keep direct messaging me all the code words. Got a little over a week to go before I draw the names, which is going to happen on New Year's Eve by 9 o'clock, right around 9 o'clock Pacific. So something to keep in mind. Well, once again, I want to thank everybody for joining. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, please check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.